We want to read a few verses from verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Let us read the word of God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or it means go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Friends, this evening I want to speak to you about comfort for the grieving. Here in these verses we read, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And then it finishes by, wherefore, comfort one another. And that word comfort also could be translated as exhort in the margin. It has it, to exhort, to comfort one another with these words. So I want to mainly speak, dear friends, to Christians about grief. Non-Christians have very little hope. There's very little to comfort them. But Christians have much to be comforted by. You see, grief, it is real, it is deep. But for the Christian, it's not hopeless, because of that glorious promise of the resurrection and reunion in Christ. The Apostle Paul, he calls grieving saints to find comfort in gospel truth, that Jesus Christ will return. That's part of the gospel, that the dead in Christ shall rise and we shall be together with him forever. So in our tears, God gives strength. In our sorrows, he gives hope. And the fact of death, we're called upon to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to comfort, to exhort one another. The resurrection and the life, this is the thing that we are comforting ourselves. The resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. That's what we are pointing to. Friends, there are few wounds deeper than the loss of a loved one. You have experienced it, some of you deeply. It doesn't matter of the age, a miscarriage, stillbirth, a child, a middle-aged, or those who go on to ripe old age. If they are in Christ, still the loss is painful, whether expected or sudden, whether at the end of a long illness or through a tragic event. Death leaves behind certain things. Death leaves behind an empty chair. It leaves behind a quiet room, many memories, and a heart full of sorrow. And to say otherwise would be dishonest. But what does the Word of God, what does it offer us in this? It offers us this. It speaks of a grief that is real, but not hopeless. That ye sorrow not, the apostle says, even as others which have no hope. It's not hopeless for the Christian. The apostle Paul is not rebuking them for sorrowing, but for sorrowing as the world sorrows. So he knew their hearts. They were aching. Naturally so. Some had watched fellow believers die and wondered, well, will we ever see them again? And so the apostle is answering that kind of a question here. Paul answers them, not with sentimentality, but with gospel certainty. Christ is risen, he says. Christ is coming. He will return. And all who are in Christ, whether living or dead, shall be with him forever. That's the truth that does something to us. It steadies the soul in grief. And so today we come to this message in our series not to avoid the tears, but to bring Scripture into them, to hold up the promises of God like a lamp in a dark place. Some of you have recently buried loved ones. Some still carry the ache of burying your friend, your loved one. Some fear the day they may stand beside the grave of a spouse, a parent, a child. But this passage is God's word, not my word, but God's word to you, your sorrows. Comfort one another with these words. And that's what I want to do. Let us receive the comfort. Let us walk through the valley with Scripture as our guide. Let us not sorrow as others who have no hope, but as those whose hope is alive because Jesus Christ is alive, because he has risen. So there are a number of things I want to say. First of all, the pain of loss is real. The pain of loss is real. We cannot get away from that. The Apostle Paul's words assume grief here. He is not commanding joy in bereavement, nor does he rebuke tears. Jesus wept. The smallest verse in the Bible, or the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. That's found in John chapter 11, verse 35. That one verse is enough to sanctify every tear you've shed for the death of a loved one. Martin Luther's daughter died in 1542. Her name was Magdalene. When Martin Luther's 13-year-old daughter died in his arms, he wept freely. He kissed her and he said this, "You will rise and shine like the stars and the sun. How strange it is to know she is at peace and yet to be so sorrowful." He was talking about himself. He is a godly man, a godly reformer. We don't say to the grieving, "Don't cry." Godly people have cried. Our Lord Jesus Christ cried and wept. Martin Luther later, he said to a friend, he said, "My wife and I should only be thankful with all our hearts, yet the force of our natural love is so great that we cannot do this without crying and grieving in our hearts." He says, we can't do this except when we are crying and grieving in our hearts. So we are not saying to the grieving, "Don't cry." I don't think we should say that. I think there needs to be a process of grieving that should take place. But what we say is cry, but not without hope. Grief is the natural response to that love and to that relationship that has been interrupted. Even the most sanctified heart still trembles in the face of that kind of a parting. It is real. It is tangible. You see, Christian grief, it is deep and maybe deep. It may involve sobbing and silence and needing to be quiet, needing our own space. It involves weariness and even confusion at times, but it is not despair. And that is the great difference. To weep at the grave of a believing loved one, it's not a lack of faith. Or else the Lord Jesus Christ would not have faith. But it is the evidence of love. That's what it is. And people deal with grief in their own way. God has made us differently. And we need to leave people. We need to encourage them and exhort them. But remember, grieving is part of the process, that the way God has made us. We live in a world that tries to put away grieving, to have a sort of a party afterwards. No, there needs to be a proper funeral, a process. Death has occurred, which is a sad thing still, because in this world, God did not make us to die. So we recognize that. And we recognize that love has been interrupted. But to weep as though death has triumphed, that is what the Apostle Paul warns us against. You see, Christ has overcome the grave. And those who die in him, they are not lost to us. They are not lost to us forever. They've only gone before. That's what it is. So that's the first thing. It's the reality of it. Reality of the pain of it, the grief of it. The second thing I want you to also bear in mind is this. The hope of the resurrection and reunion. This is the Apostle Paul's great answer. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, he says in verse 14. What a glorious phrase. Sleep in Jesus. What does that speak of? Somebody who is asleep, they're at peace. That's what it's talking about. Of rest, that's what it's talking about. Of temporary absence from the body with guaranteed awakening. This is not talking about soul sleep, no. And when Christ returns, he brings the soul of the departed in Jesus Christ with him, and their bodies shall be raised and shall be glorified, and they will be joined together, never to be separated again. There will be no more death in heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first, it says in verse 16. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So here is our hope, dear friends. You who are left behind, as it were, you who are waiting, you're grieving. How should you respond? You're not just thinking that, not only that our loved ones live on, but that we who are Christians shall be reunited with them, never to be parted again. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Every Christian funeral should be filled with this truth. This is what lifts our gaze from the coffin to the clouds. Christ is coming. And my loved ones in Christ, he will bring them back. So it takes our eyes from the grave to glory. This is no myth. This is not wishful thinking. It's rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, it says in verse 14. And we do. We do. Therefore, we believe this also. J.C. Ryle, he spoke of the resurrection hope. He said this, Christ's resurrection is the pledge of our own. As surely as he rose again, so surely shall all his people one day rise again. To the true Christian, the grave has lost its power. It is but a temporary lodging, a narrow bed, from which they shall rise again with joy. But then let me speak to you of the ministry of comfort. Thirdly, the ministry of comfort. For you who are grieving. The Apostle Paul says, comfort or exhort. But comfort here is a good word. Comfort one another with these words. Why? Because words matter. Truth matters. In grief, it is not sentiment that heals. It is scripture, the word of God's promise. That's what it heals. It heals the wounded soul, the grieving soul. It's not your word, it's the word of God. Oftentimes people say foolish things. Or you might think, I don't know what to say. If you don't know what to say, the Bible gives you plenty of things to say. So comfort one another with the words of Scripture. And dear Christian, you're called to be a comforter to the grieving, to remind them of what God has said, to gently, wisely, patiently lift their eyes to Jesus Christ. That's what you should be doing. And if you're grieving yourself, don't grieve alone. The Lord is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. He knows how to bind the broken heart. He knows how to speak peace in the storm. So let others speak to you, contact you. Let others speak their sympathy. And sometimes they say some things that you don't understand why they are saying that. It brings more confusion, more questions. But you hold to God's certainty. You hold on to that. What are those certain things? Christ will come. The dead in Christ will rise. You will see them again. And sorrow will be swallowed up in joy. Christ keeps you and the one who has gone before. They are safe. If they're in Christ, they are safe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Richard Baxter, the Puritan, in the midst of personal loss, he said a number of things. After burying his beloved wife, who was called Margaret, Richard Baxter wrote, "I have learned that the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. When I go to her grave, I remind myself, she is not here. She is with Christ. And I shall soon be with him too." Not "I shall soon be with her too," but with him too. Jesus Christ is going to be the center and the glory of heaven. That's who we are going to see. And the blessing, extra blessing, is our loved ones who are in Christ also will be there. What a joy that will be, mainly because we see Christ face to face. So think on that, dear friends. There is this ministry of comfort. But then let me say, fourthly, the danger of despair. The danger of despair. You see, grief brings with it temptations. Satan waits. He is on attack. He will do whatever, at whatever stage of life, in whatever situation. When a child is born, he will seek to attack. When a person dies, he seeks to attack. Satan waits beside the open graves. He whispers lies into the weary hearts, and he's done that for many unconverted people, non-Christians. He whispers in their ear and they harden up. And it is sad to see the questions they raise up. But for the Christian, he says, God is not good. Did you not know that? Do you not see? God is not good. Why did he let this happen? Curse God and die. That's what he whispers. Why did it have to happen now? Why did it have to happen like this? Why could he not leave this loved one to stay with you for a little more? This was the voice of Job's wife. And it must be resisted. So think on that. You may not understand God's providence. And who does? But trust his hand, his wise hand, when you cannot trace his plan. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, the scripture says in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Why should he tell us everything? He is God. We are so small, and yet to us who are so small, God has seen fit to reveal many things to us, but not everything. You say with Abraham, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Satan get thou behind me. I'm not going to listen to these things. God is just. He will do what is right. What I don't understand right now, and it pains my heart, it breaks my heart, and I wonder how I'm going to cope. But he knows. He will provide. Despair is not a safe place, my friends. It will isolate you. It will blind you. It hardens you. But hope in Jehovah, what does it do? It anchors your soul. So if you are in the throes of grief, call upon the Lord. He will hear you. Fight for that hope that he has provided for you. Don't let anything else distract you. There is hope in Jesus Christ because he's coming. He's promised me good things. Call for help. Open the word of God. Cling to God's promises. And wait upon the Lord who gives, the scripture says, songs in the night. Sing praises to him. Every time you're grieving, sing psalms to him. Sing hymns to him. That would be a thing. And you might be crying, but you lift your heart to God in praise. God is good. He's always good. He will always remain good. He's never ungood. If there is no such word for ungood, but John Calvin, he in 1542, his son died. His only child died in infancy. He wrote this. The Lord has certainly inflicted a severe and bitter wound by taking from me our son. But he is himself a father and knows what is good for his children. He says, God himself is a father and he knows what is good for his children. You remember, you listen to, and you comfort your own heart. You draw near to the Lord in that situation. But then, fifthly, a call to gospel witness at the graveside, at the funeral. There is a call for every one of us, you who remain behind, you who are grieving. We ought not to forget this. Death is a preacher. It speaks to attend its assembly. Funerals strip away the pretense of life or the pretenses of life. People will listen to the one who is grieving. They are not going to be disparaging. They are not going to be putting you to one side for even the respect of what has happened. They will listen. What an opportunity Christians who are grieving have at the time of the death of their loved ones, at the funeral, or the days, months, years ahead. You see, funerals, they remind us that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And so, dear Christian, let your sorrow be with a witness. Let your hope point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your peaceful grief say to this world, declare that Jesus Christ has dealt with death and the grave, that death has lost its sting. Let people know that. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood at Lazarus's grave, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You say that again and again. Whoever speaks to you, memorize it so well that somebody's comforting you. You comfort them and encourage them and tell them the truth of the gospel. Jesus said this. Let me tell you what has comforted me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, and so-and-so who has died, believed in Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Will you? Do you believe? Say that again and again to your heart and to all who watch you grieve. Let your tears fall, of course, but let them fall onto the promises of God himself. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, said, "A Christian's grave is but a passage door to glory. He who dies in Christ goes from a wilderness to a paradise, from a stormy sea to a calm haven, from a prison to a palace. Shall such a passage be mourned?" he says. So much more, dear friends, could be said about these things. Christians or Christian grief is not like the world's grief. It feels the same pain. It is painful. We shouldn't pretend it's not painful. We shouldn't put on a plastic smile. No, see that. But it rests in a different hope. That hope is Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, reigning, and returning. And so I say to you with Paul, sorrow not as others which have no hope. Your loved one in Christ is not gone forever. You've not lost them. So someone says to you, again, turn everything into an opportunity of teaching and encouragement. Sorry for your loss. Who's been lost? Where is that person? I can't find him. I know where they are, and I'm going to that same place as well. So you explain that you have not lost anybody. You know exactly where they are. It's just you are not in the same location just yet. I'm not sorrowing like the world. I do have hope. So remind yourself, your loved one is with Christ. They're not gone forever. They are returning with Christ. Christ will come again. The trumpet will sound. The dead shall be raised. You shall meet again. Praise God, we shall meet Christ for the first time, face to face. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. May God bless these few thoughts to us. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bless Thee and thank Thee for these words that we have briefly considered. Oh, so much more could be said, but write these things upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grieve in a way that glorifies Thee. Bless those dear friends who are grieving right now. We think of those who are considering the death of their loved ones. Oh, Lord, we pray for much grace, much help, that the hope of Jesus Christ would be theirs. We pray for those who are grieving, but they are not Christians. We ask that they might find that peace and joy and comfort in the gospel and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Oh, Lord, bless each one then. Pardon our sins, we pray, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.